Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about librarians or libraries. Could that possibly be the way, strategic way forward? Now, the overall thing is that as I produce products and, or like the podcasts or analysis and things like that, because it's actually very similar or aligned to what the different groups are selling, it doesn't get very much airtime. So in terms of schools, they're selling lessons. So this is a similar lesson, so it's not what they do, so therefore it's very difficult to push forward. Or in, say, Cosmos magazine, I've got nothing against it, of course, but they've figured out the space they're going to produce podcasts and support, and because it's very similar to it, it's not getting very much airtime. And in general, you find this with, if you ever come up with innovations, it's very, very difficult to get them forward. And it's the fact is that they functionally solve the same problem, existing problem it solves. There's actually nothing in the playbook for people to deal with. Or I've just recently done a molecular tour of this really interesting molecule called FEMOCO. It's a very interesting molecule. Wrote to people, sort of no response to it. And so you can see this, what is this going on? I'm sort of addressing the same problems. Obviously, just going under my own steam in cardiac rehab, trying to improve and get things together. But one of the things is, as you sort of recover, you're solving more and more things. You're getting sort of like a blockage of innovation coming across the board. How do you solve it? And what's the underlying problems? And you sort of go back and check, have I misunderstood this? Is this indeed something wrong? In the absence of any feedback whatsoever, you have to actually do your own feedback, or you just will be an absolute complete nutter. I think that's the definition of a nutter, someone who doesn't listen to feedback. And it's very obvious, I don't know, people like to define nutters as someone who behaves in a particular way or doesn't fit in or something like that, but I really think a nutter is someone who doesn't listen to their own feedback, might be it, or doesn't have a candor, professional candor, to actually deal with your own feedback. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean there's a combination of nutters that are usually unique, but say if you're in a rarefied field, you'll often find that you're the only person in that area. Like, you might be the only person on the supercomputer, or the only person mixing up dye laser, or I don't know, the only person doing something. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're a nutter. It means that you're beside yourself. If, for instance, you become obsessed with it and don't have perspective in it, you would definitely become a nutter. So there's that natural, sort of two natural things, the nutter detector, and also the fact that there's a product very similar. So if you go up to a fruit salesman and you offer them just a very slightly different looking apple and say, what do you think of it? Well, there's not very a lot of interest in it, because they're interested in selling the apples that they have, and they've got the supply line for it, their business of it. The question is that there is obviously some sort of solution out there. There's the overall idea of strike time. That is, you have to keep on innovating and producing for a sufficiently long period of time and attending it and sort of adjusting the soil mix and the structure around an idea before it strikes. And I have seen that on many, many occasions. Just say with podcasts, it's taken a long while, sort of several months before it's struck, and I've got an audience going up on it. It's a general thing. So there's that aspect of it. and also just looking at what's produced. So there's a fundamental problem. Feedback is not to get upset about it. It's telling you an underlying structure of things. People who are have got a concept of supply relationship, a service relationship, they're not necessarily going to produce, be responsive to things. So I can give various examples, but how do you think around it? Now, one of the things I did notice is that I've got it up to the stage where you do a podcast series, and then on the titles, you free text select the titles, and then that automatically gets pulled up and put into an app. It's a new generation app. The new generation app produces them all titles in basically a book. In fact, it's actually a little bit of an online library of concept thinking. So this is way, way out there. But the concept of it's not what the concept does and how it does. It's what it is functionally. And it's a sort of a functional book, like a table of contents, sort of a merged table of contents with the actual contents there. And so that sort of became a bit apparent in terms of when I began building a Google, began building Google sites, in a realization that to explain something, one necessarily needed not the components on the internet, you needed the fabric, the book of it. So say if a website is a book, this structure that I've stumbled upon is a library. And as such, it's addressing a slightly different problem from what people are really thinking about. In terms of if you're in a field, someone's got their body of knowledge and the application and a relationship with themselves and the world in general, which relates to it. And so picking up a piece of information and putting it in is just not worth it. It's not worth the thinking time to say, well, is this person a nutter or not? They're in the nutter area because they're not on my phone index or paper index of people, vetted people I know, which is a valid thing to do. In that, that's the expertise, the structure of science. You get your qualification, you publish it in a journal. There's a whole series of processes going ahead. Now, that's a quality control process. It's not an innovation process. You know, that quality control process, and it becomes, I suppose, very evident. So, some years ago, I made a maths discovery. Talked to a few people. Yes, 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 you're not in the right place to do it. But then, on sheets of paper, oh, yes, it's got these long-range potentials. And many years later, I've got this app system, which is a book system. So its origin, its genesis of it is throwing the social fluid that people tend to require to continue. People require the social fluid of money being paid in for themselves. But if you're not too concerned with people, you know, a large number of people, all your people you meet saying, that's impossible. No, no good. And then they see, say, the demonstration of it. Oh, you're cute, but I have previously said it's impossible. So let's leave it at that. So you've got this general view of looking at the population of people here. You see, you've got the consumers, you've got the suppliers, and then and you've got the researchers associated with it. And one of the things I think might be an opener is I think there's actually another class of people which I call librarians. I just want to go back in history and try and work out what this is all about. So you've got libraries, the great Library of Alexandria, and it's built near a lighthouse. And so there's all this things in the ancient world, and it was eventually burnt down by Christians. And so it's got a lot of interest in it. And I remember reading the story of a female mathematician who was a pagan and was eventually, raped and killed by the Christians and murdered. She's sort of like an inverse, an anti-martyr, a pagan martyr for science going in. But very much associated with the Library of Alexandria and the actual process of writing books and this external book culture. So there's libraries, but back in the pre-Enlightenment stages, people would be furiously writing and people would be accumulating libraries, and wealthy people would have the wealthy person's library and they'd spend time in the library. If you look at Jane Austen and Pride and Prejudice, Mr. Bennet spends time, I think I'll just go back into my library. It's a very interesting aspect of exactly what a library is and what a librarian is. Now, you can't go very much past the librarian anti-pope. And so back in the 8th century, there was... Pope, I can't quite remember. It's Annas something or other. And not Anastasia, but and some sort of complicated word with A. He looks pretty evil. And I think he was the librarian to the Pope. And I think this is so. This is where all the memories are scrambled. I think he killed one Pope with a hammer or poisoned them and then declared himself Pope, and he wasn't properly declared Pope. So he was a Pope, but he really Pope around the place, claiming to be a Pope, but he wasn't a Pope, so therefore you call him an anti-Pope, a librarian. Anti-Pope. I mean, you're looking at the role of librarians, they have a different view of knowledge. It's not whether knowledge is correct or not, but it's the flow of knowledge. And the idea of thinking forward in terms of their medium were books, now it's online. And so they've got the pretend, they're in their viewpoint, they're not seeing a definite end point. So this technology is not a competing technology, it's not an alternative technology, it's not a technology which to adopt they have to somehow say, what I'm doing previously is not optimal. So I note that the unions are taking up podcasting in advance and producing these syrupy podcasts, and they're great to listen to. I myself can't quite bring myself to listen to them. But it's not necessarily competing. It's sort of like, as they collect all books, they collect all knowledge. The great thing is that, they're perhaps open to it. And it leads to intelligent thinking. So I think there is a avenue there to actually, put the new All Things Considered as a form of digital concept book, putting together the human publishing in that point, and it's relating to, and so I think that's a key direction to go in, and I don't know how exactly to do it, but I will just quietly put out a feeler into people, and I do think there is this sophistication in that it's what people are asked to do. So are they asked to field an inquiry from a nutcase? So they, nutcase. But there may be a different passage in that is, to get a commentary on it, to set something up that a librarian comments on whether this is, and gives an analysis, an objective analysis, which is something to go forward with. So, have someone investigate, write this up, and get a librarian's input into it, because it is very based on self-publishing, but crowd publishing, crowd writing. So, say with this particular engine, I've got it sitting, the app writing engine sitting there, and fed into it is another little engine I've written that looks at the podcasts and produces basically a book and puts it into the library of the podcasts, and things are beginning to cross-link a level which I hadn't thought of before, and this is that the apps, site maps, navigation method for the web pages. The web pages are incredibly, by standards, complex. Even inside the web pages, things are coming across that I can just put as an enclosure in the web page, the MP4 player, and it just wraps. Google now wraps the entire player with it. The only problem is that if I put up a podcast and you open the page, it automatically starts playing, which is, well, it's one of those things that we see if we can get on top of. So that's the general idea. And those people that are listening, this is the germ of an idea of just going, hang on, I've stopped at all these positions. Can I possibly go forward in this direction? So it's just a vague direction, and there's a vague strategy of not necessarily a full frontal approach, but someone who knows an associate up in library stuff like that, to see if it can be looked at and analysed. Perhaps, look, I do think there is a way forward here, and it's to understand that the groove of ideas and your direct linking to what seems an obvious link is a way forward, is not the way forward. So looking at the group forward, looking at a group outside that research and delivery stuff, that the support, it's got a process of giving multi-level things. So the thing is that you don't go to a library for a particular book, you go from a library for a knowledge on how to find the information. That's a slightly different thing, and the fact that the people there have to deal with a whole series of different customers at different directions. So there may be sort of intellectual degrees of separation where we can actually get this this up and running. So I think there is a way forward. Thanks for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.